there is a particular stage where if you are not able to do proper assessment of your document under self-assessment scheme, you can always ask for a provisional assessment by the department. That is, you do not have sufficient details to comply with all the requirements under the self-assessment scheme. In such cases, importer, exporter or custom broker, if he is unable to do self-assessment, he will take permission for provisional assessment of the bill of entry or shipping bill under Section 18 of the Customs Act. They have to undertake to furnish satisfactory documents or information for assessing the duty at a later date. They will mention that I don't have these details. I will prepare, obtain at a later date and submit to Customs Department. And then the importer will also deposit with the customs an amount toward the duty deposit, which is not exceeding 20% of the provisional duty which has been assessed on the goods. And on the balance, he will give a bank guarantee. Based on this, the customs officer may allow such goods to be assessed provisionally, and clearance of goods may be permitted after the importer-exporter furnishes a bond with security as the customs deems fit and as per the rules. That is 20% provisional assessed duty you are paying. For maximum duty, you are giving a bond with a surety or bank guarantee. And officer allows clearance of the goods. Now we come to the actual clearance procedure of imported goods first. You have already got out to charge of your import consignments after payment of customs duty, after verification done by the system or customs officer. Now the custom broker, or maybe even you as importer, can also do this procedure, has to surrender the original bill of lading. Mind you, when you get the, as importer, you get bill of lading, there are three copies available. Each copy has got the same value. So at least one original bill of lading, you have got to surrender to the shipping company and make payment of freight and any other charges through e-payment method. Even shipping companies are connected online through ICS. You can make payment through the e-payment mode of payment to the shipping company. Shipping company will then issue a delivery order which is transmitted online to either the importer or the custom broker, and also a copy being sent to the ICD CFS custodian that yes, such delivery order has been given, goods may be released to the party named in the delivery order. Then copy of bill of entry with out of charge being mentioned over there online, duly generated by the system, is also transmitted online to the ICD CFS. That means ICES custom system, as soon as the out of charge is being given through the on the base of the location code which you have mentioned over there, this document will be transmitted to the ICD CFS over there that yes, custom has released the goods, you can give delivery to the named party. Subsequent to this, the cargo will be destuffed from the container, of course, under supervision of a surveyor and the customs, who will tally the quantity of the goods with the documents available online. If the goods are found to be sound condition and as per the declared ordered quantity, the custom broker will take delivery of the goods and send it to the importer. This is the practical side of the custom clearance for the imported goods. Another aspect is when the containers are taken to the warehouse or factory of the importer. Yes, full container can be taken to the factory of the importer and destuffed at that factory. Why? Because for safety purposes, importers can take the sealed container. Container has got to be sealed at the custom station, and that sealed container will move to the factory or warehouse and destuff the cargo there. Importer custom broker will give a bond with insurance policy for the cost of the container to the shipping agent. That if there is any damage to the container, shipping company will recover from the insurance policy. Then also make payment online of freight and any other charges at the time of collecting the DO. You'll pay the necessary charges, give the insurance policy for the container, and then the delivery order will be transmitted directly to the custom broker as also to the ICD or CFS. Thereafter, the custom broker has got to approach the ICD CFS, seal the container, and containers are then loaded on a truck and taken to the importer's factory or their warehouse. And cargo would be destuffed in presence of the importer or his representative. And then subsequently, the empty container would be returned back to the container yard for being stuffed for export purpose, etc., etc. This procedure is allowed in case the importer wants to ensure the safety of his cargo. There is also another procedure involved over here, where an importer, if he wants, on a rush job basis, without the container having to move to any ICDs or CFS or any container yard, taking the container directly from the truck, as soon as it is unloaded from the ship onto the truck, to move that truck with the container directly without passing through ICD, CFS, etc. to their factory. This is a special procedure allowed by the Customs Department. For this purpose, registered manufacturers and AEOs, authorized economic operators, which I have already explained to you before, they have a facility of fast track clearance under the self-assessment scheme. It cannot be granted to everybody. It is granted to manufacturer exporters who are registered with GST and AEOs who have got AEO certification. In such cases, all the bills of entry under this particular scheme can be filed 30 days prior to arrival of the vessel or the expected arrival date of the cargo. Assessment is automatically done by the system and duty debit under e-payment system. Mind you, this duty debit can be done on immediate duty payment basis or deferred duty payment also, which is a facility granted to the manufacturers, large manufacturers. And then immediately on landing of the containers from the ship on the truck chassis, the clearance will be allowed directly from the port. Screening will be done at the port gate, and the custom officer present at the port gate after observing the screening report from the X-ray machine, he will grant out of charge. Out of charge will be generated on the system at the port itself, and the container clearance would be given, and the container will move to the factory destuffed at the factory. Now, mind you, clearance of under this particular scheme, direct delivery scheme, is always subject to audit under on-site post-clearance audit basis, which I have already explained to you before. There's another facility available to the importers. If importers have ordered a particular consignment and before the consignment actually lands, actually arrives at the port or the airport, if he wants, he can sell the goods to a third party, another importer, having a valid I code and also validly registered AD code with the Customs Department. But this has got to be done before the ship or the aircraft actually arrives at the port or airport. And this is known as a high sea sale of the goods. Imported goods are allowed to be sold on high sea sale basis after they are dispatched abroad and before their arrival in India. How? The original importer enters into a high sea sale agreement with the new buyer and endorses all the original import document. He will just endorse it and hand it over to the new buyer. The buyer becomes the actual importer now. And he makes an application to the Customs Department and then files the integrated declaration for bill of entry customs clearance. And after payment of customs duty, he takes delivery of the cargo. Duty will be paid by him. Original importer has nothing to do now at all once he has signed, once he has delivered the document and high sea sale agreement has been entered into. Of course, that agreement will be registered with the Customs Department. When we look at samples, you know, many times importers, before importing actual material, they import samples. Or exporters also, if they get large orders, they tell their buyers, you send us a sample of what you need, and then we will look at the samples and then prepare the goods as per those samples. Importers will say, send me a sample, and after seeing the sample, I will place the order. So in such cases, there is a special procedure for import of samples. Bona fide free samples of a value not exceeding rupees 5,000 per unit and total value not exceeding 3 lakh or 50 units in a year can be imported duty free without payment of duty. No duty is required to be paid. But yes, custom clearance procedure has got to be complied with. Or any prototype of engineering goods, they can also be imported up to a value of rupees 10,000. They are not the actual machine, they are prototypes of particular machineries. Up to a value of 10,000 rupees, they can be imported duty free. But they have got to show that they will be rendered useless once the prototype is copied. Those samples will be rendered useless. They cannot be used at all. If the value of such prototypes is more than 10,000 rupees, then the exporter has got to ensure that he re-exports the prototype within a period of 9 months. Up to any value, prototypes can be imported. If value is up to 10,000, duty-free import is allowed and subject to condition rendered useless. Value above 10,000 rupees, in such cases, a re-export bond has got to be given and within 9 months, the prototype has got to be re-exported out. You know, even large companies, they send out their commercial travelers, their sales or marketing people, who will also bring in bona fide samples with them as passenger baggage. Here also, the value and clearance purpose method is the same for such commercial travelers also. This is the value of the goods only in the country of dispatch, excluding local taxes, etc., like value-added tax, etc. That would be the crucial value applicable. Another procedure available is re-importation. It means that exporters have exported certain goods and then subsequently, due to some technical purpose, the goods are coming back for different reasons. They are allowed re-importation under Section 20 of the Customs Act. Often indigenously manufactured goods exported are returned back for various reasons, including cancellation of the export order, or maybe if the goods have gone for exhibition or display, they are brought back. And if they are returned after use in a particular project or contract under project imports or project export, and when the projects are completed, such goods are also allowed for re-importation. Imported goods after discharge of duties at the time of original importation have also to be sent out for repair and reconditioning. That means large machineries which have come in over here after payment of customs duties, they may be required to go out for repair and reconditioning after a certain period of time. So such goods also can go out and again re-imported. Apart from this, private and personal imported property may also have to be sent abroad for repair within the warranty period, or goods which may have to be sent for special processes like polishing, electroplating or coating, and then re-imported back. Now, for all these types of goods, there is a totally different special procedure involved. And the duties are levied as per respective exemption notification in each of the above cases. In all such cases, there is an exemption notification available. It is subjective to condition that for export of goods, any drawback which has been availed by the exporter, or any export promotion scheme benefits which have been availed by the exporter, or GST exemptions have been availed by the exporter, they have got to be returned back to the Customs Department or the GST Department. And only when they are returned back, then duty-free would be allowed. If the importer under re-importation cannot prove or cannot return back, then full duty has got to be paid. Next, we look at second-hand equipments and goods. Many cases, certain manufacturers would prefer to import machinery which are second-handed. For those machinery to be cheaper for their factories, etc. Or for different purposes, second-hand machinery is being brought into the country on a very large scale. Here, in all cases of imports, there is always a subjective condition on two accounts. Number one, on the transaction value. What would be the transaction value of a second-hand machinery? And two, what should be the condition of the machinery? What would be the shelf life of that machinery? Whether that machinery has become obsolete or not? these things are required to be looked into by the Customs Department, and therefore certain conditions have been placed on all such second-hand goods. Here, the transaction value for imported second-hand goods is taken on the basis of an independent chartered engineer certificate from the country of supply and showing, number one, invoice value price when it was new, year of manufacture, etc., when it was made. These details will have to be mentioned by the chartered engineer in the chartered engineer certificate. And based on these details, a depreciation would be allowed. And depreciation should show the evidence of original value, allowing for full quarter-wise depreciation, calculated up to the date of dismantling or till the date of shipment. Up to that period, depreciation would be allowed. In case the machinery has undergone any reconditioning or refurbishing done by replacing some old parts and new parts have been put, in case of such reconditioning machinery, all costs related to reconditioning have got to be added before allowing depreciation. That means depreciation value adding on these values of newly refurbishing. Goods may be released after examination if details are found to match with the respective chartered engineer certificate, which has to be uploaded through eSanchit before filing the integrated declaration. They can be matched by the system directly, or custom officer may insist on checking and verifying all the details mentioned over there, checking the genuineness of the chartered engineer certificate. When we also look at hazardous waste, they are also being imported in large quantities in India. And for that, there are separate import procedures applicable certain subjective conditions, which I think in chapter number one, I have already explained to you the applicability through the Allied Acts. At the time of clearance, yes, those matters, those factors are looked into very strictly by the Customs Department. Here, hazardous waste, the Manning and Handling Amendment Rules of 1989 provision will apply as follows. Number one, import of hazardous waste substances are specified in Schedule 8 are totally prohibited. There's a Schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Schedule 8, they're totally prohibited. No, they cannot be imported at all. So first of all, at the time of preparing the integrated declaration, you have to refer the Schedule 8 and see whether the goods are following in that schedule. If they are following, you cannot file an integrated declaration. If you at all you file, you will be highly penalized on that account. And subsequently, import of waste oil sludge derived from ships operations is allowed. Reprocessing by persons registered with the Central Pollution Control Board. I've already explained to you in the Allied Acts. Again, hazardous waste management handling and transboundary rules 2008 allows certain categories of waste by importers registered with the State Pollution Control Board on behalf of the actual user. That is, actual user condition will apply for processing of the hazardous waste, subject to Pollution Control Board checking. Hazardous chemicals is permitted in accordance with provision of manufacture, storage and import of hazardous chemical rules. And import of products, equipments maintaining, all containing ozone depleting substances, there a license is obtained from DGF, Director General of Foreign Trade, and that license will normally it comes online by DGFT. You've got to mention the details of that license in your integrated declaration. Genetically modified feed or other organisms will all be governed by these provisions of Environment Protection Act, and all the rules subject to conditions will apply. Import of textile and textile articles is permitted, subject to condition that they shall not contain hazardous dyes whose handling, production, carriage or use is prohibited by government for the Environment Protection Act. Now, this is something, all these details I have already explained to you in chapter number 1. Under the provisions of the Allied Acts, what are the subjective conditions you have got to follow? And these are the conditions you have got to follow. Mention these details on the integrated declaration under self-assessment scheme before you file the integrated declaration on the iSCATE. And whatever allied documents you are required to maintain and give, show, it has got to be uploaded through eSanchit. And mentioning IRN number on the integrated declaration. Metal scrap can also be imported, but here again there are certain subjective conditions. Import of metal waste scrap is allowed subject to the condition that it does not contain hazardous toxic waste or contaminated or containing radioactive material, any types of arms or ammunition, mines, shells, live or used cartridges or any other explosive material. This is a subjective condition for all metal scrap. And then another subjective condition is that they should be shredded form only. That is, the scrap has got to be shredded, small pieces, and accompanied by a pre-shipment inspection certificate that the consignment does not contain radioactive contaminated material. The supplier who is supplying the goods to you has got to ensure this, that number one, it does not contain those hazardous, etc., etc. Get a certificate to that extent, and also that it is shredded fully. So such a certificate will have to be obtained by you, and then you upload these certificates online. Import of metallic waste and scrap in unshredded or compressed and loose form, they have got to be accompanied with a pre-shipment inspection certificate from any inspection and certificate agencies that the consignment does not contain any types of arms, ammunition, etc., etc., etc. Now, mind you, before you import such type of scraps, you have got to register yourself with the Metal Scrap Trading Organization, there's an association. And then you've got to ensure that these factors are complied. Otherwise, if it is found to contain any such hazardous waste in the scrap, then you would be held responsible for all losses on this account. As importer, importer is always liable to the customs department. You cannot say, I did not know that party has sent me this. No. You have got to ensure these things, that supplier conforms to all these factors before you import the goods. Next, we have a very unique scheme known as Project Import Scheme. Now, this is a very old scheme, and I would say that this is somewhere prior to 1991, when we were having we are not having much manufacturing activities, and government wanted to give job opportunities, more and more job opportunities to the public, to Indians in India. So they told the manufacturers that you increase your capacity, your existing capacity of manufacturing, you increase by more than 25%. Or those manufacturers who want to set up a new unit, for them, a special facility was created in the form of Project Import Scheme. This is a very unique scheme which has been applied. Now, if I take you back to that period, at that period, the peak rate of customs duty was somewhere around 100 to 150% for all such types of machineries and equipments, spare parts, etc., etc. In certain aspects, even duty went up to 300% for certain types of goods also. That was the time when importers were hesitating to import, and that is why they were working on obsolete technology, etc., etc. So government wanted them to work with new technology, increase the capacity, and therefore government said, we will reduce all these duties. And the reduction went to the extent of nil to 5% to 10% maximum range under Project Import Scheme at that time was around 30%. Look at 150, 30%. So this became an incentive to large manufacturers to start opening new factories. Now, this Project Import Scheme is to facilitate initial setting up or substantial expansion of mainly irrigation project, power project, mining project, oil and mineral exploration projects, or any other project notified by the government. And this was done by simplifying the assessment of import of capital goods and all related items required for that particular project. Goods that could be imported under this scheme are machinery, prime movers, instruments, apparatus, appliances, control gears, transmission equipments, auxiliary equipments, equipment required for research and development purposes, equipment for testing and quality control, all components, all raw materials for manufacturing of all the above items, etc. They could all come under this Project Import Scheme. And here, a flat rate of duty is levied on all such goods under a single tariff heading created for project import only. That is under chapter number 98, heading 9801. And all such goods under the Project Import Scheme, which are approved in connection with this, they have got to be classified under this heading only. Though the machineries, the individual machines could be classified under different headings, but once you declare that this is for a particular project under the Project Import Scheme, then the classification will be only under chapter Custom heading number 9801. There was a specific regulation created in 1986 for specific procedures laid down for this. And here, at that time, you know, DGFT used to issue licenses for all items for import purposes. Licenses were compulsory at that time. That was also known as industrial licenses, etc., etc. Now, importers were first required to enter into contracts with the supplier of goods and register the same in the customs contract cell. There is a separate cell in the customs department as customs contract cell. And all such contracts entered with the supplier were registered in this cell, and they are required to obtain a project registration number before the customs officer grants the clearance of the imported goods. That means if clearance of goods is allowed, then full duty has got to be paid. But before clearance is allowed, the project importer were required to register this contract, obtain a project registration number, apply that project registration number to the bill of entry, and then give the concessional rate of duty. That's all. Now, for this particular purpose, there is a specific documentation procedure required. And the following documents are required to be given to the contract cell in the customs department for registering the contract. First, the original deed of contract, then the industrial license or letter of intent, or a small-scale industries certificate, or an original import license issued by DGFT, whatever applicable, that has got to be given to the customs contract cell. Then there has got to be a recommendatory letter for duty concession from the sponsoring authority. That means the ministry which is controlling the particular project will be the sponsoring authority. That sponsoring authority has got to give a recommendatory letter to that particular manufacturer. Yes, you are allowed to do under the project import scheme. And then because a large quantum of duty is being waived off by the government, subject to condition that it is used in the particular project and project starts operating, then a continuity bond with cash deposit or bank guarantee is required to be registered with the contract cell. Apart from this, for the entire project, a process flow chart, layout plan, all the necessary write-ups, drawings, catalogs, literature, etc. for each and every item required in that particular project has got to be submitted to the customs contract cell. Along with this, to attested copy of foreign collaboration agreement, if there is a foreign collaboration agreement. And then any other particulars which is required for assessment under the heading of 9801, which is demanded by the contract cell, they have got to be given to the contract cell in the customs department. And then after going through all these documents, the project registration number will be granted to the project importer. Thank you.